Okay. Thank you everybody for coming back, and thank you so much for the delicious meal. All right, so before I proceed, I wanted to address three things I want to be sure to cover that I feel are not taken care of properly. So first thing is, earlier this morning there was a question about forgiveness for abortion, and it seems impossible to be forgiven for that kind of sin. But, and Father Edward mentioned women coming back repeatedly seeking, you know, confession and forgiveness for that. But it only takes one confession. If a woman confesses once and repents, there's no need for that. And what happens is that this sin is so enormous, you just can't imagine ever being forgiven. But what happens is then you commit another sin of pride. You fall into pride. If you think that you've done something that's bigger than God, that God can't forgive it, you're just in a state of pride, and your spiritual father can help you with that. So I wanted to be sure to address that. This can be forgiven. God is bigger than everything. Okay, and then there was a question about where we're confronted with people with this situation of, you know, a lot of people say, I would personally never have an abortion, but I can't keep that choice from anybody else. How do we deal with that? This falls into the realm of pro-life apologetics. And this is something that comes up so often. I wanted to address it. So there are three ways, three responses that I find very persuasive and just true. So if you hold that abortion takes the life of a human being, you should be opposed to all abortions. It is unfair to grant the right to some preborn children, but not to others. It's pure discrimination to say it's not okay for me, but it's okay for you. Okay, so and so you can also reframe this in the positive. One must oppose abortion to protect the innocent human being in the womb and protect the person's right to life. So you're not taking away someone else's right, you're protecting the right of the vulnerable and voiceless. And we would nobody would ever say, I would never abuse my child, but I cannot tell another parent not to abuse their child. Right? And I'm personally opposed to slavery, but I would never stop someone else from having a slave. Okay, so there, everything that's thrown at you, there's a good response. So I really specifically wanted to address that one because it came up this morning. Okay. Then the other thing is, there was a question about contraception and about, you know, contraception that's not abortifacient. And I want to just really, that needs a little more attention because Father Edward unfortunately left and he could have given us, we should have covered this, I apologize. What is the church's teaching on contraception? And it's a little bit vague, but you know, when you listen to Father Josiah Trenum, who's extremely advanced on these issues and really an expert, when he follows the Father's teaching, contraception is not orthodox either. It's actually pretty similar to a Catholic view that we have to be welcome to life. Life is a gift from God. And what the Catholics say is that when you allow contraception, what follows is abortion because you start making this life and death decisions. So that area is very complex, and I wanted to be sure to address it a little bit more fully, but it still deserves more attention. Okay. So that was little business that I wanted to follow up on. And I would say contraception also, that's in between spiritual father, spiritual mother, and people should talk about it with their spiritual fathers and mothers. Okay? That's the best thing. That's always the best thing to do. Okay, so I promised the ICOM prayer cards, and I'm going to pass those around with a sign-up sheet for Orthodox Christians for Life of the San Francisco Bay Area. I'd appreciate it so we can all stay in touch. What we're trying to do is connect all of us who are really concerned about this issue, because in every church there are a few people, there's a little small group, but we can all connect together. We can really do a lot, make a gentle and loving presence in our churches for what our church teaches. Okay? okay? And I also have a sign-up sheet for Orthodox Christians for Life, the national organization, which is active. It is being revitalized by a small group in California. You will not hear from them for a little while because it's really getting up and running again. I would so appreciate if you could support the National Orthodox Christians for Life by agreeing to be on the email, but no pressure. So I'm just gonna pass these around on each side. And thank you guys. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Okay, all right. So let's get started with our real practical response. Okay, bottom line, if you don't remember anything else, love them both. Yes, Father Edward did mention about how pro-lifers are a lot of times accused of not caring for a child after a child's born. Yes, we do. And we need to show it. At the same time, you don't have to save the whole world. You can't take on every single issue. So we're gonna talk about that some more. Because sometimes the pro-life movement is expected to save the whole world, even though our main issue, you know, is abortion, main issues are abortion and end of life issues. We can't do it all. Nobody would ask, you know, a daycare center with limited resources that works on Wednesdays, Monday through Friday, to also work on weekends. There's sort of a double standards or standard put on the pro-life movement that's just not really feasible and not appropriate. It's just a way to shut us down. It's a way to shut down the conversation. You are not, you know, doing anything about immigrants. You're not doing anything about the death penalty, and it's a way to dismiss you. So just come back to the main principle. Right. Come back to, you know, the main principles of child in the womb. Okay. All right. So here we go. So our response, and we go back to very earliest Christian, one of the earliest Christian writings, the Didache. There are two ways of life. There are two ways. One of life and one of death. And there is a great difference between the two ways. Has anybody, show of hands, seen this icon on the internet or anywhere else? Okay. So, I cannot identify the iconographer, but I did find an interpretation for it. It depicts realities and effects of abortion in a range of situations, separating the way of life and the way of death. I will be using this icon to isolate each circumstance with some thoughts on how we may respond to them. All right, Christ blesses families. So here we are in the light. Mother, father, and children, we see both parents caring for the lives entrusted by God to them. The Bible tells us that children are a blessing. Psalm 127:3-4. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Families are strong, but an unplanned pregnancy can make a family vulnerable. Approximately 59 to 61% of abortions are performed on women who are already mothers. Now, many women included in this statistic are single mothers, but abortions do occur in families with both the mother and father present. But when both married and unmarried couples experience abortion, it wounds their relationships, and many times the relationship breaks. There's often hurt and resentment, and one or both just emotionally disconnect to avoid the pain. Families who already have difficulties raising the children they already have are vulnerable to the cultural messages, luring them into the supposed quick fix of abortion. Abortion is common. Abortion is okay. Abortion is normal. Many mothers have abortions. Abortionable is a responsible decision, both for the preborn child who's not wanted and will have an unhappy life, and the living children, because it ensures the living children more resources. So, it's very much twisting responsibility to take away all compassion and basically taking away responsibility. Her body, her choice. which separates the fathers who do not have the legal right to stop an abortion. So here is another aspect to abortion and its role in the breakdown of relationships here between husband and wife. This sign summarizes some of the damage of abortion, which leads many to believe that motherhood is a drawback. Fertility is a disease, and the unborn are disposable. Again, we turn to Frederica Matthews Green on the assumed conflict of rights between a mother and child. It's a long way from regulating rights that come with increasing maturity, so she is referring to the continuum of life and specifically an adult mother, to denying the right to be alive. The love between mother and baby is the icon of human connectedness, and when we complacently assume that one may want to kill the other, something has gone seriously wrong. The culture is placing overwhelming burdens on the mother. We may not be able to change the world, but we should be able to have some impact in our Orthodox Christian communities. We can honor and elevate the stature of motherhood, fatherhood, and families. Consider, how do we respond to large families? Sometimes we're not invited over. There's too many kids. They're just going to destroy our house. Kind of are shocked when we find out, wow, you have 5 kids? 6 kids? 4? 3? Oh. You know, let's not do that. Let's congratulate them. Honor them. How do we talk about motherhood and fatherhood in front of children? Oh, it's so hard. No, it's a joy. Never make parents and their children feel uncomfortable in church. They already are on edge about their children's behaviors. They are hypersensitive. Do not look back to see whose baby is crying. Just don't. How can we support families? Babysit. Let the parents have a date night. Invite them over for dinner to give them a break from cooking. Bring some groceries. And paramount.
Wait, can you say that last sentence again?
Bring some groceries?
No, the one about date night and
babysitting.
Yeah.
Just
like repeat it again.
Yes. Give the parents in your churches a date night. I also read something really cool about parents having a cooperative, babysitting cooperatives where they rotate the kids amongst families. Paramount, ask them how you can specifically help. You know, if you think, oh, I'm going to bring over some groceries and they have food allergies, it was the wrong thing. You know, ask them what you can do.